Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Franco Usmile of Dawn of the Dead. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
Franco, how you doing?
I am ready to ride or die with you, Ben.
Yeah, we podcast 1/4 mile at a time. So both of us have seen the Fate of the Furious, along with much of the rest of the non-United States world. It has made a tremendous amount of money worldwide, but I mean, it's made a lot of money domestically, but not nearly as much as you might think. But we've both seen this movie, and we thought it'd be fun to talk about it. I think we're both pretty big fans of the franchise in general, especially this latter, the last 4 or 5 entries. So I think we're both qualified to talk. So just right off the bat, and I guess we'll do spoilers for this one. So right off the bat, I guess we kind of have to. Right off the bat, what did you think of Fate?
I was, slightly disappointed. I guess mostly disappointed. I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to figure out how I feel about it, because I look at my ranking, and it's 5th out of the 8th, but I have more negative feelings towards this one than I do for the ones that are below it, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm just more disappointed. Whereas, so the ones that are below it are the first one, the second one, and the fourth one, which came out before I was, super hyped about the franchise. So,
right.
So I didn't care. I didn't have expectations for those movies. But to be honest, when I saw the first one in theaters, I loved it because I was 16 and I didn't have good taste in movies. When I revisit the first one, I'm like, oh, this is so bad it's good. But mostly bad. But with this one, I was, ready for those Fast and Furious moments. And when they came, they felt kind of like a parody of the Fast and Furious moments. And a lot of the times, they just didn't come. And so I was left disappointed, but my wife enjoyed it. And she's a big fan of the series, which is, really... It's kind of the only series that we have together. It's a family franchise right now.
Well, that makes sense. And it is 100% a family franchise.
Right, right. And so that is cool about it. And she likes action movies and kind of the culture of the movie. It's she likes to dance a lot. She likes that music, the last song in Fast Five was our last song at our wedding.
Nice.
this is the kind of a family we are. And so this one, it's weird because I feel like without Paul Walker, Vin Diesel's character is I don't think they know what to do with him.
Well, okay. Well, see, that's kind of where I might diverge from you. I think we line up pretty well. This is in the bottom portion of my ranking for sure. But I think that the opening of the movie, which is basically just this little mini short film about Dom and Letty in Cuba, I think it's one of the best. It's maybe the best opening of any of these movies. And it's this really great moment of Dom, of just this, of who he is, He's this guy who stands up for his family, and then he races a car, but then at the end, he's a good bro, and he, reconciles with his enemies. He's Jesus. I mean, that opening scene is, the most theologically rich thing in any Fast and Furious movie, where he basically, he beats, he's victorious and then gives himself up, you know, and gives, lays everything down for the love of his family and his enemies, both. So yeah, the first short little section of this movie, he's not a deep character at all, but I was like, oh, I totally get what his superpowers are. You know, like, I feel like it really boils that character down. But then the rest of the movie, yeah, it's kind of a stretch, and it's just, it's, they're working really hard to make him a deep, interesting character, but he's really not unless he has, you know, a little bit of conflict to play against. And at the end of this movie, he kind of really doesn't. You know, you can just kind of tell that Vin Diesel wants this character to be this kind of untouchable saint in a way. And so it all depends on who his supporting cast is. And in this movie, he doesn't really interact with anybody except for Charlize Theron, and I feel like she's maybe the worst villain of the entire series. So, yeah, it's tough. There's definitely something missing here, and I have yet to put my finger on what it is, but you're thinking it's Paul Walker?
Well, I mean, it might be Paul Walker. I don't know. It's so funny because before he died, I was just always like, Paul Walker is always like the weakest link in these movies. But and in a way, he was kind of like the vanilla glue that held all these personalities together, perhaps.
Uh-huh. Well, now they have Scott Eastwood.
Oh, no. Don't even get me started on Scott Eastwood. God. I mean, the seventh one had the problem, too, of, like, just, I just needed somebody like Han and Giselle. I'm still, like, missing them, which is
yeah.
So, I just feel kind of, like, ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing.
Talking about them the way people talk about, like, I don't know, Han Solo or something.
No, I mean, because here's the thing, is that Han was a purely dramatic character. You know, I mean, he was not there for comedic effect. He was a hero. He had work. He had functions. He had work to do. Now everybody is basically comic relief except for Dom in this one. You know, it's like even The Rock is played for primarily comedy in this film. You know,
right.
It's just like
so
he's so big. Yeah, and then like Tyrese, he serves no purpose on this team. Like he used to bring a certain like skill and a certain charm to the things, but
right.
Now they just bring him along and he's just this joke, and a lot of the time
so that
very,
they can make
funny.
Fun of him.
Yeah, but then it's just like, why is he here? Like, all he's doing is getting saved by Ludacris the entire time. And Tej
right.
is, like, beyond any sort of, I don't know, like, he doesn't really have any agency either. It's just like, nobody's there to do anything except be funny unless you're Dom, and in which case you're there to look cool because you're Vin Diesel. Because I think here's my theory, is that Vin Diesel has reached Bruce Willis levels of power over this franchise. Same way that,
I mean, from everything I've read, he's definitely, like, the driving force. And But, yeah, like you're saying, Tej, like, if you have Ramsey, who was introduced in the seventh one, and you
right.
have Tej, like you have two
character.
People doing the same thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
and
they're just
they,
racing their keyboards at this point.
Right, right. And I think my biggest problem with this, no, well, I know my biggest problem is with the script, and I know that that's, like, very broad. So, like, mostly, like, there are a lot of character problems, like we talked about, but also the plot. Like, why have these movies become about keyboards and hacking and
yeah.
satellites and like we need to not go so big. Like, why did she want to steal nukes? Like, why did it?
Yeah,
have
well,
to be
literally. I mean, I'll admit, I walked out of the theater at one point to get my wife a drink, and I missed that one a soda a carbonated beverage, not a alcoholic drink.
No, I was. Chuckling because you like left the movie.
Yeah, I
like,
felt bad.
You weren't
but at the
connecting.
Same time, you know what? I was fine. I was totally fine. I waited until after an action scene, and I was like a big action scene. So I was like, okay, nothing interesting is going to happen for a little bit, so I can leave. Which is a bad sign,
I think,
by the way.
I think we
what?
Left
when
at
I
the
walked...
same time because I had to pee.
Okay.
At one point, and then,
I think it was right after the whenever he shot Jason Statham and that big action sequence. I think after that ended, I was like, okay, that was really big, so I bet you we're good. And when I walked out of the theater, I was relieved. And that's why I was like, not because I peed, but because I was like, oh, it's actually nice to get up and walk around, because I still have like another hour of this movie that I have to deal with. And I'm going on a tangent here, but what I was going to say is that I missed a little bit of the movie, but I can't tell you at all what her plan was, other than to get nukes, just to have nukes, which may be it. But
that was it. Like, she says, like, at one point, she's like, and I'm paraphrasing, when I have the nukes, they will, and meaning, like, you know, big nuclear governments.
Right.
She was like, they'll know that they can't just do whatever they want. And I'm like, what's your backstory? Like,
did your dad
get, like, screwed over by, like, the CIA or something? Like, why don't you tell us that? And considering she's, like, the Blofeld, because she escaped
from
him.
Away.
I mean, that's kind of a problem, because we didn't like her very much. But hopefully for the next one, she's, like, kicking butt. I mean, how do you cast Furiosa and not have her drive?
Well, you give her a bad haircut.
That's true.
They were
fake dreadlocks. It was weird.
Ugh, so bad. Yeah, she didn't. Yeah, you're right. There was nothing there. She wasn't very interesting. She was dangerous in the sense that she was willing to just, like, wantonly kill a mother and potentially a baby, which I guess is their point here, is that, like, oh, we finally have this super duper dangerous villain that we promised was not going to flop to the good side the next movie. But still, it's like, I don't know. There's nothing
really
going
on. Yeah, but you never know. She could still flop. Like, they could
retcon
her. Like, they retcon Deckard Shaw. How do you kill Han and think it's all good?
That's the thing. So in pro wrestling, there's this thing called, like, baby faces and heels, which is, like, the heroes and the villains. And then there's, like, heel turns or face turns when one guy flops to the other. And that's one thing I actually like about the series, is that there are heel and face turns. You know, The Rock made a face turn in Fast Five, and that's cool. And then Dom played the heel in this movie. And so there's so many connections to pro wrestling in these movies, but that's one of them. But then, it's like, okay, hold on. Like, one of our favorite characters in this series is Han and Giselle, and Jason Statham and his brother killed them. And now they're good guys? Like, you want us to buy into this? Like, that's going a little too far, I feel like, in terms of, like, expecting us to forgive these characters. But, like you said, they kind of retconned it, where it's like, I guess in some kind of way he was protecting his family, and in some kind of way he was tricked into being a bad guy. So it's like, okay, whatever. I guess you want me to remember those other movies, but not really all of them. So it's like, whatever, you know.
Well, and I get, like, you've got Jason Statham, like, as a studio and the producers, you, like, and then, you know, him and The Rock have good chemistry. But
they do.
I mean, so they never fought, though. We never had them fight. I mean,
they
did
talked
they fight
about
in...
It.
Yeah, they talked about it. Did they fight in the last one? I don't think so.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, like, no, they did.
One of the best parts is a tilting shot where The Rock rock bottoms Jason Statham through a glass table and the camera moves
with the
angle of it, and it's one of the greatest things in movie history. But yeah,
it's when The Rock, like, breaks his arm or whatever.
Right.
At the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
So they did fight, but have we figured out? Okay. So another big thing where I turned to my wife and I was like, "No, this is this date." Like, it was when they execute Elena from Fast 5, 6, and 7. And she was like, I felt so bad for that actress, because she gets the script and it's like, you're just gonna be in a room and you're gonna be scared and cry and hold a baby, and then you're gonna get shot in the head and you're gonna die.
Yep. Well, as soon as she, like, came up, you know, they turned the light on and she was in there and she had a baby, I was like, she's gonna die. Like, she is gonna die within three scenes. because she's totally superfluous, because Dom and Letty are going to raise that baby. You know, like, that's, it's right there. And I was like, I was immediately detached from the situation. Yeah, it's like, she was built as a pretty strong character in those other movies, and then she's just kind of unceremoniously dropped so that they can give Vin Diesel a reason to, you know, be bad for one movie.
When I saw that baby, I was like, wait, this baby looks like he's like 6 months old, maybe nine, let's say.
Yeah.
And so Fast Five is when she would have gotten pregnant. And so are we saying that 18 months ago it was Fast Five? Like,
no,
that's crazy.
It may have been Fast
oh, and Six?
And Furious Six, because Letty...
Like the beginning.
Because they were together at the beginning of that.
Okay.
And then they were on their honeymoon at the beginning of this one. So really all that happened between then was whatever happened in Furious 7. Maybe. I don't know. Look, yeah.
Well, and at the very beginning of Furious 7, Paul Walker has a kid with,
yeah.
What's her name? Mia?
Jordana Brewster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no clue what her character's name is. But the, so here's the thing. These movies, the reason I have loved the last three of these movies, 5, 6, and 7, which are my top three and are really, really fantastic. The reason I've loved them is because they're so much fun. And yes, sad things happen. You know, Han and Giselle pass away. Those are sad things. But there's like a romance to the way that those things happen. But they're fun movies. You know, they're about crazy cars and jokes and dancing and rap music and explosions, and that's cool. So if you're selling me this movie, please don't give me a scene where somebody waves the gun around an infant and then maybe kills the infant's mother in front of the infant. It's just,
yeah.
It's a little too far, and I know that I'm probably being a pansy, but it's just, it's unpleasant. You know, I understand, like, look, in Hard Boiled, much of the last act of that movie is, you know, this incredibly tense sequence where people are, like, carrying babies through fires and gunfights and stuff like that. But guess what? That's Hard-Boiled. You know, it's a different type of action movie than these movies.
Right. It's a hard.
It's just
art.
Ugly. Yeah. It was just too ugly. And there's, I don't know. In general, the whole movie had this kind of like gray, this desaturated drabness to it that I wasn't used to, except for that opening sequence, which is like sun bleached and colorful and fun and festive. You know, but the rest of it is like, takes place in CGI snow or in the dark, and it's just not exciting or fun. And even the scene in New York, it feels like was like drab and boring. And they have this wonderful idea for a set piece where all these automated cars kind of converge on this limo, and I feel like
they're full of people.
Well, all those people are dead, but that's
like,
okay, because that vault in Fast Five killed everybody. That's okay. It's just the way it was staged. Like, if like a Chris McQuarrie or Steven Spielberg or somebody like that staged that action scene, I feel like there would be like this like great or a Justin Lin or James Wan. I feel like there would be this graceful escalation of action and movement and tension in that. But in this, it's just everything just kind of happens, you know. And it's just like there's no. The action scenes don't have a musical crescendo build to them. You know, it just feels like this happens, and this happens, and this happens. And Jason Statham is running through the jail, and then he punches somebody, and then we're cutting. There's just a grace missing that Justin Lin and James Wan brought to the franchise. That I feel like F. Gary Gray is a totally capable director, but I feel like he wasn't the right fit for this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I leaned over to my wife when they executed Elena, and I said, okay, I get that you need to get rid of her so that Dom and Letty can raise this kid, and she's, like, barely been in the last two movies, like, and this is a soap opera, so you need to get rid of her. But for the sake of her character and for, like, payoff, why not have her die while sacrificing her infant in the third act?
Right, or like trying to escape, you know, or something like that. Like, give her some sort of action to do rather than sitting there and be like, now I died, please. Yeah.
So
it's All right. Well, it sounds like we are like really really pretty disappointed. And I when I walked out of the movie, I was just like, I don't know if I need another one of these. I know we're getting more, but it was draining. It was 2 hours and 15 minutes, and it's the first one that I've walked out of in three movies that I was just like, I was like really tired of that by halfway through, and that's disappointing.
Yeah. So I definitely didn't have as bad a time as you did, I think. I was very disappointed, and I just kind of left going like, meh, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
I think it could have been better. But, like, my wife was, like, really excited about it. And it was, like, the first movie we, like, the two of us alone have gone to in since, I guess, Inside Out in 2015. So almost 2 years.
Wow.
And so just to see her being, you know, like, excited.
Yeah.
And she enjoyed it quite a bit. So I think that rubbed off on me. And
yeah.
Also, there were moments in it that had me going like, all right, Fast and Furious, you know, like that opening scene.
Yep.
Or there's one scene towards the end where like Tyrese is like basically like jet skiing on the Arctic ice, which was like pretty nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
But overall, I thought like, you know, just conceptually, like just like the storyboards or like on a script, these action scenes were just not, they didn't fill me with glee. Like, there was no scene where, you know, it's like, guys, they got a tank, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or there isn't like the, we're going to hop from skyscraper to skyscraper in the car.
Yep.
Or the very beginning of Fast Five where they're like stealing cars out of a moving train and then they like go into, you know, off the bridge into the river. Like the last three movies
the moment in Tokyo Drift where they drift through like the city square, you know, for the first time, like that's like a really beautiful transcendent little moment of, you know, like teen car fantasy, you know, there's it's not high art, but there is something cinematic and beautiful about that moment, and there's really nothing like that in this movie.
Well, and in, like, Fast Five, they take a break from the plot, and then, like, before Dude Bros go on a drag race just for fun at night in Rio.
Yeah.
And it serves no point except just, like, character building.
Bonding.
And,
yeah.
Right. And we, like, this movie, the only time it took breaks to take a breath were times when it was Vin Diesel and Charlize Theron talking about dark, gross stuff.
Yeah.
So
The plot is the plot has kind of taken over, unfortunately. And there's it's all superhero action stuff now, which like is like when they took it to that level in Fast Five, it was like this pleasant surprise, but it didn't lose the kind of dumb, you know, basic stuff of the original feeling that they had in some of the other movies. But yeah, now it's just like so much world saving stuff that it's like, yeah, but like what happened to the part where they just drink Coronas as Spanish guitar plays in the background. They talk about family. Like we got like the barbecue scene in this and that's it. It's like, we need that. That's what made the other one special. So I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, to be honest, the kind of comic relief didn't even work on me this time.
No.
Because maybe I was just kind of over Tyrese freaking out, or maybe they gave him the wrong things to say that it just didn't click with me.
Well, there's no contrast. That's all he does. He's just screaming, and you know, he's not being charming or cool anymore. He's just screaming and being an idiot. You know?
Right. Well, and the cool thing about 5, 6, and 7 is you had like Vin Diesel and you had Paul Walker and you had some other people just kind of like grinning at Tyrese's buffoonery.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, like you just have Ludacris kind of grinning at it.
Yeah.
Everyone else is ignoring him or making
or worried about Dom. Yeah, exactly. It's like everybody's in their own little special movie. You know, The Rock is in his beefy action movie, and then Dom is in his brooding action movie, and then Tej and Tyrese are in their comedy. Yeah, there's just a disconnected kind of. Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know. Yeah, they're missing kind of the cohesion of the ensemble that it used to have. I'm kind of wondering, like, going forward, what should they do? Should they, you know, take Dom and Letty and, like, maybe, like, two other cast members and just put them in a totally new situation, you know? Put them in, like, I don't know, in the Middle East somewhere
like
where they're, like,
Avengers,
helping a village?
It should be like the Avengers where, like, they all have their own kind of movies. And some of them, it's like pairs, which should be.
Yeah. I mean,
they've talked about.
And
then they get together.
They've talked about Statham and The Rock going off and doing their own thing, which would be beautiful. And
it'd probably be cool to have, like, Tej and Roman and Ramsey in their own movie, or, like,
that Tyrese, I don't know. I mean, he's getting kind of older now, I guess, which is crazy, but I feel like Tyrese is, like, a huge missed opportunity for Hollywood. You know, I feel like he could have been a very successful leading man in action series. But for whatever reason, that never happened. And it's like, this is a perfect – if he hadn't been playing the fool for so much of this movie and kind of the last few, you know, this would be a really great way to see if you can do a more modestly budgeted Fast and Furious spinoff with Tyrese in the lead. But that's probably not going to happen because he's just been pigeonholed as the, you know – the Slimer of this group.
So I
probably need to wrap up here, but before we go, what is your if Chris Morgan is kind of the writer of this, so let's say he makes sure he gets the script right next time, who do you, and assuming F. Gary Gray does not come back, who do you want to direct the next? Who do you want to direct 9 Fast, 9 Furious?
Well, I know nobody wants this because they want him to do his own thing, but let's say there isn't an opportunity cost where he still gets to do his own thing and he doesn't die for a long time. But George Miller, because I was watching that scene in the Arctic Ocean and where it's just like a big, long chase and like a vast nothingness,
mm-hmm.
And I thought, this doesn't look good, but there's potential here. If this was directed by George Miller, it would be insane. And so, but that's not going to happen because
yeah.
I just don't see that happening. And I told you that I think maybe Gore Verbinski, since we like he's kind of like the MVP of when me and you talk, we just kind of bring him up more than anyone else, I think, does ever. He's this kind of, like, forgotten filmmaker. But I think he could do a good job because, at the very least, I know that the action set pieces will look really good.
Absolutely.
And
does well with ensembles.
That's all I pretty much need at this point. Right, and he does well with ensembles. But you had some, I think, that sounded
good. Yeah, I think the most obvious one is Gareth Evans, who did the Raid movies. I don't know if he could bring the comedy is the only thing, because obviously the Raid movies are not really funny. They're clever.
Well,
did
you see the second one?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I did not. I saw the
first
one.
It's really sprawling. It really kind of takes itself way too seriously. The action scenes are, of course, incredible, but yes, there's a car chase, and it's very well staged. So, I mean, the dude knows action, like, really well. I'm just not sure if he can, you know, tone down his brutality. He probably can, though. So I think he's kind of, like, the obvious option. I think that Nicholas Winding Refn may be interesting based on Drive, but I don't know. That may be too, again, like, too self-serious, not quite
I feel like that's less likely than George Miller.
Possibly, but I don't know. I feel like Refn is kind of one really badly performing movie away to needing to make a paycheck. But whereas
what about
George
the John
Miller,
Wick guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be good. I feel like they're kind of, you know, doing their own thing. I think Jamie Colette Sarah, the guy that did Nonstop and The Shallows, I feel like he's like this like up and coming potential strong action director. And then I think Dan Gilroy, who made Nightcrawler, there's like kind of a car chase in that movie, and it's so slick. And that's a very kind of low-key, humorous movie. And it's very slick and efficient. And I feel like that's what I would like out of the next Fast and Furious movie, is something that's a little cleaner, a little slicker, a little bit more like the third movie or the fifth movie, where there's not submarines bursting out of CGI ice and, you know, giant planes all over the place and even skyscraper jumps.
Now, that's the least likely thing. They're going to space before they go lean.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I feel like you just scale back, you know? Like, I feel like that's always my... But James Bond does it, you know? They go too big, and then they realize they screwed up, and then they scale back. And I feel like that's maybe time to do that now.
Dan Gilroy's brother, Tony Gilroy, have you seen Duplicity or...
Yeah, he's fine. Based on the Bourne legacy, though, I don't think he's really... He's not the action filmmaker that he would need to be.
I haven't seen that one.
It's fine. But,
okay.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, I feel like both of us could keep talking about these movies forever, but unfortunately, the window is closing. It's time to say grace and eat barbecue and drink Coronas.
All right,
go ahead.
Well, thank you for letting me come into the Film Nerds Unlimited familia one more time. And pass the Corona or the Budweiser now. That was another disappointing thing. I just kept getting disappointed. Coca-Cola in the first scene and then Budweiser at the end. I mean, Corona needs to just pay them what they want. Jeez.
Yep. It's a problem.
For Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.